Well, today our scriptures give us some very memorable and poignant events and images. In our first reading from the first book of Kings, we hear the Lord says to Solomon, "Ask something of me and I will give it to you. Ask for whatever you want." Wouldn't that be something if the Lord asked that question of us? I think our response would really reveal a lot about who we are and what we hold dear in life. In our gospel, in a similar way, the Lord gives the parable about the treasure that is found in the field, or the pearl of great price. And that brings up the question for us, what is our treasure? What is the pearl of incomparable price that we might be willing to give all to obtain? See, a lot of questions come up from these images and these events. And I think that when I read the parables of Jesus, they always seem to lead to more questions than answers. And I think that's part of the point. These parables are meant to be invitations for us to go deeper into the mystery of God. They are meant, in a sense, as forks in the road, moments where we are forced to make a decision. See, Jesus' parable today invites us to make a decision. We notice that what he's asking is very demanding. Once the treasure is found, once the pearl of great price is discovered, all needs to be given away in order to obtain it. He demands all. We must remember, however, that when the Lord is offering us the treasure, he's not really asking us to give away anything of true value, anything of absolute, that is, eternal value. Whatever he might ask us to give up is something that is not necessary for our well-being in eternity. So we must not forget that. For example, Solomon, he has to forego many of the goods that he could have asked for in order to ask for wisdom. He could have asked for wealth, or power, or prestige, or safety for him and his people. All things that he could have used for the good of himself and the kingdom. But he chooses to forego those to ask for a greater gift, for wisdom. For wisdom to understand God and to understand the ways of men. So that he would be able to live and govern according to the mind and will of God. So that if he would receive wealth, he would use it wisely. So that if he would have power, he would know what to do with it. So that if he had prestige, he would know how to use it for the best of his people. So Solomon, in his request of the Lord, is willing to give up a lot of goods to receive the greatest good. And the Lord, of course, is very pleased and delights in that choice. You know, sometimes when I read this passage, I wonder why God hasn't asked that question of me. I could use it, couldn't I? Anything you want, I'll give it to you. And then I start to thinking, what might I answer? And it probably the reason why God doesn't ask me is because I'd either ask for something that was too great for me to handle, so I'd probably try to do it on my own, or I'd ask for something too narrow-sighted to really be for my own good. And I think that indicates to me that, in a sense, I'm still a child spiritually. Many of us might still be children spiritually. So if you think about it, if you were to ask a little child that very same question, "Ask anything in the world and I will give it to you," just think of the kinds of answers that you might get. Or if you were just simply to offer the choice between something that was really of value, you know, a diamond or something, and an ice cream cone on a hot day, the little child, of course, would choose the ice cream cone. And I think that's the fascinating thing about this parable, is that it's not as self-evident as it initially seems. The Lord is asking us to sell everything in order to obtain the treasure. Okay, that sounds great. That's easy to say. But if you were to start going through everything in your house and selling them one by one, well, this is Grandma's rocking chair. Do I have to give this one up too? I really like that car. You know, if we were to go through everything one by one, we'd discover how difficult it is, and doubts would start to rise in our mind. How do I know this is really a treasure that's worth as much as I thought it was? How can I be sure? I only caught a glimpse of it. How do I know that this is really the pearl of which nothing has a comparable price? I can't be sure that it's even authentic. Maybe I better just play this one safe. You see, we have that tendency to doubt, or that tendency to be childish and to cling to things that are really of little value compared with that which is of absolute value. You know, and then the parable goes on, and after Jesus finished, there's a great surprise to me as I read. Jesus says, "Do you understand all these things?" He gave three parables today, and we've heard about five over the last few weeks that he had all given in a row. And the disciples had said at one point, "Why do you speak in parables? Why don't you speak more clearly?" And then he asks them, "Do you understand all that I've said?" And they say, "Of course we do. We got it all. We understand every bit." Well, that's interesting, because Jesus said, "I speak in parables because some hear but do not understand." Although apparently everyone thinks they understand. So maybe it's true, or maybe they do understand, but they're just not willing to allow what Jesus says to truly impact or change their lives. And here, Pope Benedict's book, Jesus of Nazareth, the first volume, is helpful for us. He speaks about why Jesus teaches in parables. And he says that every good teacher uses examples or parables in their instruction, because a reality that lies outside of the field of vision of their students needs to be glimpsed or seen via a reality that is within their range of experience. So the teacher builds a bridge from the student's experience towards something that lies outside of their experience. And that means that when Jesus teaches in parables, it requires the collaboration of the learner in order to cross that bridge. The truth is brought very close, but it must be entered into in order to be grasped or for one to be guided by it. And then, Pope Benedict says, that the Lord is, teaching in parables, is really trying to show us God. Not an abstract God, but a God who acts, who intervenes in our lives and wants to take us by the hand. He shows us, Jesus shows us through everyday things, who we are and what we must therefore do. Jesus conveys knowledge that makes demands upon us. It not only, or even primarily, adds to what we know, but it changes our lives. This is what Pope Benedict says. But why do so many reject the message? Why do so many hear and claim to understand the parables and yet do not follow Jesus? Pope Benedict says, "The possibility of refusal is very real, for the parable lacks the necessary proofs. There can be 1,000 rational objections to the parable." So it was with our example. Sell everything? Well, these things are good. Why would I want to give up those things? How do I know for sure that this is the treasure, that this is a pearl of great price? And in the end, some do not enter in, some do not accept the parables or their invitation, because hidden in each of the parables is the mystery of Jesus himself. And the mystery of Jesus, my friends, cannot be accessed without the cross. Pope Benedict said, "The mystery of the cross is inscribed right at the heart of the parables." And as we know, not all have embraced the cross. Not all are willing to see that the cross and that the sacrifice of Christ is truly the revelation of God's love. And hence, not all will accept or allow the parables to change their lives. See, when God was approaching Solomon, he wasn't like a genie in a bottle. God is offering us all. Our destination has been prepared for us, the great gifts that God desires for us. But they come at a cost. And Solomon knew that, and he was willing to give up some of the goods that the world might give him in order to ask for something greater. And for us, God is offering a great gift. But God is also asking us to leave behind our childish ways of thinking and acting and believing. He says, leave behind the things that we cling to and which prevent us from recognizing or coming closer to the pearl of great price. Whether those things are power or prestige, always worrying about what people think or say about us. Whether that's wealth and riches and measuring up to our neighbor and what they have. Whether that's security. All of these things, the Lord is saying, you must be willing to give up to attain the pearl of great price. Pope Benedict said, the mystery of the cross is inscribed right at the heart of the parables. Indeed, it is true. And hence, the pearl of great price lies in the cross itself. Do you understand? Jesus says. And he asks us that from the cross. Do you understand? Do you see what love is? Do you see what the pearl of great price is? In offering myself, I am offering that pearl to you. What will you give in order to attain it?